Mrs. Coronado. Would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Eugene Connors.
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Doughty.
Present.
Mayor Ronald Ertley.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein.
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn.
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan.
Here.
City staff, Justin Johnson, City Manager, Ashley Coronado, City Clerk, Sharon Bono, Finance Director, Mark Berlinet, Fire Chief.
Thank you. Before we get to item number one, let me, for public consumption, let me say this. The city manager candidates went through a rather extensive interview process today by being interviewed by four different panels, the employee panel, the professional panel, the department head panel, and the community stakeholder panel. And each panel spent about 45 minutes or so with each candidate and gave recommendations, or will give recommendations, to the candidates that they preferred. The candidates toured the city for about an hour today, and hope they stayed cool. And the staff did that particular tour. We're going to begin tonight in alphabetical order, and so we will start with Mr. Britt Hanson. So, welcome, Mr. Hanson, and we appreciate your interest in becoming Bisbee City Manager. And so, since we went through that extensive process today, the council is only going to have one question tonight. We're going to start with Councilmember Sullivan.
Okay. Hi, Britt. What characteristics do you feel make up a healthy city government? And how would you prioritize these aspects if you were the Bisbee City Manager?
Well, the very, very first aspect of any governmental entity, city or otherwise, is transparency. And as far as I've been able to tell in my time with the city, and as well as my time with the county, is I think the city government does a good job of that. That doesn't mean that there aren't imperfections and there aren't mistakes made from time to time, but I think staff does a very, very good job in trying to make sure that the website's got the information on it that people can get. Public records requests are met as promptly as possible given the amount of staff. And I think a great deal of gratitude probably goes to the city clerk's office deservedly for, you know, making sure that they know how to route people to where they can get their questions asked. So the first aspect is transparency. The second, in kind of the general good government range, I would say is, I hate to use a business term, but customer friendliness. This is, the government serves people. It doesn't serve itself. It serves the people. And the ability to solve people's problems, or if you can't solve a problem, explain to them why it can't be solved. And do it promptly and efficiently would be my second criteria. The third, which kind of subsumes all, is you got to make a budget. I don't believe in debt for government, or is minimize debt to the extent possible, and that means that you got to make ends meet. And we know that a lot of governments in Arizona, including here in Southeast Arizona, have seen declining revenues. And that means tightening your belt, and that means find ways to impact services as little as possible, but still tightening your belt the entire way. Those would be the three top criteria, I'd say, for government.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Dunn.
Yes, thank you, Britt, for being a candidate.
Thank you.
Why do you want to leave your current position?
I think, as most of you know, I love what I do. I'm not leaving or seeking to leave because I don't like what I do. Every day I wake up and go to work, I wind up working on things I've never thought about before. And it's a new challenge, and it keeps the job fresh. And also work with very good people. I have a lot of pride in our county government. I think it's done a very good job, and I work with good professional people. So I'm not leaving for that reason, or seeking to leave for that reason. What kind of the two main factors that have caused me to to put my application in for this job are the first one would be the same reason as I gave you all when I was standing at this lectern a year and a half ago when we were seeking to become the Bisbee City Attorney. And that is, I love this little burg. I've lived here for 13 years now. I expect to live the rest of my life there and feel very invested in it. And, of course, I would be interested in doing this job and investing in a town I love only if I thought I could do it and do it well. So that would be the first reason, would be kind of the egalitarian reason, is I would like to serve this community. The second reason, less egalitarian, is I've always liked new challenges, and at my age, I'm not looking to go anywhere. And so the number of challenges you get in Bisbee and Cochise County are not very many. After thinking about it for a great deal of time, I thought that this would be a new challenge that I could both accomplish and accomplish something for the benefit of the city. So those are the two key reasons. And I think if I needed the last year and a half for this realization, my eyes are wide open. I know this is a difficult job, and it's a tough job. It's not a booming economy. It's not on the horizon anytime soon. Revenues will make the city flush with cash, which means you have to work and struggle to keep doing the things that the city government, the city council, and the citizens expect. But that's part of the challenge, too, is to figure out ways to do that.
Thank you. Councilmember Klein.
Mr. Hansen, thank you for your interest in the city. And with that, the largest portion of the Bisbee General Fund budget goes to public safety. How do you control costs in the area of public safety while maintaining the response times and services demanded by the citizens?
Okay. Are you including public safety fire as well?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have a grand solution. I've looked at the budget, several times for both fire and police and every other department as well. And what I've come away with are questions, not answers or solutions. I think that both fire and safety and the other departments, the new city manager is going to need to go through the budget line by line by line and probably explore within that line with each department head, with Mark Bernlight and Chief Achave, and find ways where possible to conserve money. We've recently had an possibly adverse decision that will affect the revenues of the fire department. That needs to be addressed sooner rather than later, to make sure that we can maximize the revenues. So, Councilwoman Klein, I didn't come with an agenda on fire or police or any other department. I know that it will be a learning process to work with the chiefs and figure out a way to make sure that service is available. When we talk about going back to Councilwoman Sullivan's question earlier about essential or the main functions of government, I didn't talk about the substantive aspect of it, but there are certain things that the people of a city and the elected officials of the city have a right to have done really, really well and be as responsive to the people as possible. And two of those, of course, include fire and police. So they need to be maintained intact. They need to be given the tools they need to do what they need to do, which is preserve the peace and keep fires from spreading and hopefully prevent them.
The chair will go last, so next we'll move to Council Member Dowdy.
Mr. Hansen, what attracts you to Bisbee? And why do you feel you would be a good fit for our community? What do you see as our city's greatest asset? And what do you see as the city's greatest challenge?
All right. The first one was what attracted me to Bisbee. That's probably the easiest one. I think like I just went on a vacation that involved extensive driving, and on the way up and the way back, we listened to the People's History of Bisbee. I don't know if you've heard it, but it's a 10 CD set done by a woman named Susan Willis about the history of Bisbee, going back from the beginning of the mining days to the present. And one of the common themes, it's a lot of interviews of people that have come to Bisbee, a part of Bisbee. For the people that wound up moving to Bisbee, one of the common refrains is, the first time I drove through that tunnel and looked down on that jumble of houses, I fell in love with the city. And I'm one of those. My first trip to Bisbee was in 1995 or 1996. And I had that kind of revelation as well. And beyond that, I find it very vibrant. I love the fact where I live is a very, very, old Bisbee is a walking area that you can walk just about for every personal function that you need. You can the quaint idea that there'd be a post office with no personal delivery, I think, is a huge asset because you wind up running into people every day and feeling very, very much part of the community. And I think that extends to the other parts of Bisbee as well, to Warren and San Jose. I think very much this is a pretty close community. I like that. There are days when I would like to hide out and not see anybody, and that's sometimes not possible in this town. I think everybody's probably had that day every once in a while. But on the whole, I think the closeness of the community is great. I love the nightlife. I think for a town our size, I think we're blessed with the number of things to do, the number of activities. And I say the nightlife, but I include the Queen Mine Tour in that and all the other things that we have to do. I like the fact that we live close to the border. And I could probably spend my whole 30 minutes in answer to that question, but suffice it to say that I'm enamored with our little town. The second was, what do I see is the biggest asset of Bisbee? I would say part of the answer to that I've already covered, which is a sense of community, a really close sense of community. And by the way, I've lived in small towns. I grew up in a small town, a little farm town in Illinois. I also lived in Round Valley in Arizona, Springerville, Eager, for 10 years. I've never felt even in the town I grew up in, I never felt a sense of community as much as there is here. I think there's a vibrancy and creativity to this town. I think going back to the history, through kind of the wild and rough mining days, I think there was a vibrancy to this town that's carried through its kind of 1970s Renaissance as well. And I think that vibrancy is something that both attracts people, not just tourists, but places to live. And I think that's an asset that we can mine a little bit more. Your third question was the largest challenge to city government. And I think, did you say the city or city government? I'll answer it both ways, make it easy. Because I don't think the same... The city's greatest challenge, because I don't think those two things are the same. I think sometimes those of us in government think that the challenges to city government are the same things that are challenged to the city. Challenge to the city, there's people out there that feel very comfortable living in this community, blind to the challenges of city government, and that's fine. It's nice that they feel like, what city government does or doesn't do doesn't affect the way they go about their lives. But I would say the challenge from city government and the underlying challenge to the city are keeping us afloat financially. And I've heard people throw out this word, and I think one of the duties of all of you sitting up there and whoever is sitting in the city manager's chair is to make sure people understand that the city is not on the verge of bankruptcy. Bankruptcy means you're not paying your debts. There's not a chance we're not going to be paying our debts unless the folks sitting up there and the person sitting in the city manager's chair and our finance director don't do their job, which is to figure out what you need to do to make sure that budget balances. And that's going to be done. It may hurt sometimes. Hopefully it doesn't. But if it does, it'll hurt. But that's a lot different than the city going broke. So let's stop the talk of the city going broke and make sure everybody understands. We'll be here in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. No.
Councilmember Hansen.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you for submitting your application. What is your vision for Bisbee?
You don't like narrow focus questions, do you?
No, I don't.
A very, very broad question. First of all, I want to say that in terms of vision for Bisbee, I understand the role of city manager vis-a-vis the elected council members, because it's really the elected council members that are getting elected for their vision of Bisbee, setting policy and making that vision happen, and the city manager implements those policies. But also, we understand that the city manager spends all day doing this job, and although it's not his or her responsibility is the wrong word. It's not he or she doesn't have the final word on what the vision of Bisbee is. As folks up there, the city manager does have a role in it. And I think the vision of Bisbee I would like to see in the broadest terms are to retain the vibrancy of our community, and by the vibrancy I mean the creativity, the love of community, and the willingness of people to volunteer and give their time to the community. And that is not something that government does. Government facilitates that by making the opportunities available to people. It's the individuals of Bisbee historically who have made Bisbee what it is. It hasn't been government. Government at its best facilitates that. But the one part I would like to retain for sure is the vibrancy and creativity of Bisbee. And I think a lot of good things will follow from that. I touched on the volunteerism. I think this community, probably because people really that live here really appreciate it, has a tremendous amount of volunteerism. Sometimes I look at the number of commissions that are established underneath the city council, and I shudder, because I understand the amount of time involved in that. But I think it's also a reflection of this community that it has a lot of people that want to contribute their time and their energy and their ideas. And I think that's a huge part of the community, a way for people to participate in their own governance. The third thing I want to touch on, I'll probably do it with some trepidation, but I think it's an honest answer, is a lot of the discussion around Bisbee in the last few years, especially given the difficult financial difficult finances of the city, and the difficulty of many people finding jobs in the community, and young people going and coming back, is economic growth. And I don't think that there's any of us sitting here that would say we're not for economic growth. I think everybody wants to see Bisbee succeed economically, to give people opportunities for jobs, better paying jobs, and of course, as a side benefit to that, making the city budget work a little bit better. But I think we also need to do it intelligently. Growth for the sake of growth is not a philosophy that I would endorse. I think we have to remember when we talk about economic growth, that we're trying to create a community that is livable and that people live in, and we want to keep it soul. We want growth that will enhance the lives of the people that live here, and that's the bottom line.
We'll go next to Council Member Connors.
Thank you, Mayor. Hey, Britt.
Hello.
I'm happy you're there.
Thank you.
So, having said that, how are you going to obtain and maintain public trust with us and everybody? How are you going to maintain, get them to believe in you and what you're doing, and then maintain it on a weekly basis?
Yeah. Well, I think the first solution to that is to do a good job and let people see you're going to are doing a good job, that you're responsive to the needs of the community and trying to make the priorities that, that affect people's lives in the best way possible. I think that's a good start. I know it's very broad, but I think that's the best start. And I would hope that both the council and the community would give whoever sits here, whether it's me or somebody else, some time to make that happen, and to figure out what the plan is. I would like during the first 6 months, I would hope that I would not need to take any radical actions of any kind, but instead kind of explore, learn, listen, and then come up with kind of a plan or the vision that, that you were talking about earlier. So I think that's solution number one. I think number two is the obvious, which is you've got to be transparent. And as I say, I think on the whole we've done a good job, and we'll continue to do that. Visibility in the community is also important. We've got a lot of civic organizations here. I think it's important for the city manager to either speak or just listen at many of the different civic organizations, the different event-driven organizations, and a lot of other opportunities to speak to members of the community, the business community, the downtown merchants, and the merchants in the other areas. And listen to them and see what their thoughts are. Listening, I think, goes a long ways towards building trust. Also acting on that after you listen. And we know, because we've all been involved in government for a while, you can't do everything that everybody asks. And I think people, on the whole, understand that, at least if you give it a good listen and you try and come up with a solution build on their ideas. And even if their ideas aren't something you can implement directly, there's often creative ways to get to the same goal that, that people really wanted in the first place. I should mention that one of the things I've done for many, many years as an attorney, I think, is help facilitate what my clients want to do. A lot of lawyers, especially government lawyers, are good at finding the limits of what can be done and saying no. I think that's just a start, just to figure out what the legal limits are, but then try to find ways to facilitate what your client wants to do, because it's not always what they tell you they want to do. It's often, here's the goal, and there's another way to get there rather than the one that they had thought of to begin with. And I think I've been pretty good about being creative and trying to find ways to do that. And I hope I bring that same asset to this job, which is to try and find creative ways to solve problems. And I think in doing that, over time, you'll build trust.
The mayor's question is, and you somewhat alluded to it in your last answer, but what would you do on your first 60 days on the job?
Well, I've got a big wish list. My first one is to meet not just with the department heads, but the individuals in each department for extended lengths of time, not just meet them and chat, but ask them how they perceive their job, how well they think they're doing it, what they would like to do better, how they think they could get to that point. That would be number one. Number two, I wouldn't say it's going to get done within the first 60 days. I'd say within the first 6 months. I think a line-by-line review of the budget is necessary. For those that have – I've dealt with a lot of budgeting over the past 13 years because I have worked with people who are budget-obsessed, and I say that in the most positive way possible. Mike Ortega, Jody Klein before him, and now Jim Vlahovic, understand that – that budget is or it should be a reflection of the plan for the upcoming year and maybe years beyond that. And to really understand what a department is doing, you have to understand where they're spending their money and why they're spending it in that particular way. And if they have revenues, understand where their revenues come in. But I think a line-by-line review is going to be something that I would focus on. And I think if I can accomplish that, or after I accomplish that, that I can then get on to making a plan for the upcoming years and present something to the council that would be a lot firmer than answer than I was able to give to Councilwoman Klein a few minutes ago. Those would be two things, the employees and the budget. And the third thing is, and there's really not a great way of doing this except for one-by-one-by-one meetings with the city council is to find their vision too. I sit over there meeting after meeting, and I, you know, get from comments of what of each council member and the mayor, you know, kind of, you know, piece together what their vision are, what their thoughts are, and what you know, their keenest concerns are. But it's not the same as actually sitting down and having that big, broad discussion. You and I have done that fairly recently, and it's been really helpful. Because if you understand what somebody's vision is, it makes it a lot easier to figure out how to go about doing your job. With seven of you, you also have to kind of piece that together, too, because you can't always please all seven of you. But you can, if you listen long enough, you can maybe find the consensus points that work so you get more 7-0 votes. And that would be, you know, a goal as well. So those are a few things I'd like to do in the first 60 days. And the other one is listen to members of the community. We have, I think more so than your average community, we have people that are very interested in participation in government. And participation sometimes just standing here at call of the public and letting their thoughts go, or writing a letter to the Bisbee Observer and letting their thoughts go. But you also see it in various community meetings, a lot of people exchanging their thoughts, exchanging their ideas, oftentimes very critical of city government. That's fine, as long as you can take the criticism and find a constructive way to use that to build on their concerns as well. And sometimes, frankly, criticism is deserved, and we have to understand that too, and not just be defensive and deflect it. So I think listening to those constituencies in the first 60 days would be important to building the job. And of course, there's also, you know, actually taking care of the day-to-day work during the first 60 days and throughout the job. But those are the kind of the things that I see that would help a city manager kind of build the vision and ultimately answer the question that you guys have asked about the vision and about police and public safety. And when I say put together a plan, I think my ultimate goal, not in 60 days, but as I say, I'm kind of looking towards 6 months as the time to really kind of build the plan and bring something more concrete to the council for a way forward.
Okay, thank you. This concludes the questions from the council, and I'm sure I speak for all the council members. We very much appreciate your interest in being Bisbee City Manager and going through this rather exhaustive process today. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Next, we will go to Yvonne Kimball. Kimball, welcome to Bisbee, and I know you've had a long, exhaustive day. What we're going to do tonight, this is going to be a little more brief, and as I mentioned earlier, you were all interviewed by panels for about 45 minutes, four different panels. So this will be somewhat brief tonight. It will not be real long, one question per council member, and we'll start with Council Member Sullivan.
Yvonne, what characteristics do you feel make up a healthy city government, and how would you prioritize these aspects if you became the Bisbee City Manager?
Well, I do I need to... Well, each place has its different rules on these, all these things. For a healthy city government, we want to have a council manager form of government anyways. We'll have elected 7-member elected council member, and you hire a professional city manager, and then you also have a team of professional staff. So the structure is such a structure is a healthy structure. Since I've always been working for council mayor form of government, so I'm going to advocate for that. I know there's other form of government out there, but I'm firm believer that council manager form of government is the most effective and efficient structure, and so thereby it's healthy. And also, we need to have citizens, and because people are what make this community great. So that's one critical element of any city government. Now, in order to prioritize them, I think every single thing I just said are very essential elements, and they're all very important. You can do them at the same time. You can, as a manager, that's why you hire a professional manager. Professional manager need to work on the have a meaningful relationship with the mayor and council, first of all, and also being able to be an effective leader for the team of staff. And then professional manager also going to be visible in the community to be the champion for the city's cause, be approachable for our citizens, being able to address citizens' concerns and the needs. All these things are going to come together in order for a city government, a local government, to be successful. We in local government, city government, we are the closest level of government. Citizens a lot of times will say the federal government don't do a thing, and we don't really, they're not as responsive as us. See, the federal government, the state is not that much better, and then the county, and then us. So we are really the frontline level of government, and we are the most responsive level of government, and thereby we have the greater responsibility to fulfill our citizens' needs. And then in order to do that, you need to have all these things together, have elected body, have a knowledgeable professional manager, have a team, and to carry out the policies and implement your decisions, and then involve the citizenry. And if they're not involved enough, then that's something that we need to work on. We need to encourage them to participate.
Next, let's go to Councilmember Dunn.
Thank you for being a candidate.
Thank you.
Why do you want to leave your current position?
Let's answer this way. Why am I interested in BSB's position? I like BSB. BSB is a lovely community. My family and I have spent time here on vacation for several times, and not my first trip here. I'm being an Arizona manager for almost 5 years. I know the state political climate, and I'm familiar with state law and how to run in terms of how it impacts cities and towns. And I am a credentialed city manager. I've been a city manager for the last 8 years. So I am a competent manager, and also to prepare for this time here, I did my own research and I spoke to community members and read documents, of course. And what I learned that is, I just need to be very honest with you, is that not everything is all that positive. Some are good, some are not so good. So I realized that there are some significant challenges moving forward. However, I have the right skill set and experience and temperament to work with the council, to collaborate with the community, to guide your employees, to build effective partnerships. And as a result, we together will embrace those challenges. So that's why I'm interested here.
Thank you. Councilmember Klein.
Welcome back, Ms. Kimball. The largest portion of the Bisbee General Fund budget goes to public safety. Mm-hmm. How do you control costs in the area of public safety while maintaining the response times and services demanded by the citizens?
Have I done things to control the expenditure well, make sure that everything is full under the budget? Oh, yeah, certainly I have. In Bowling Green, I was the city manager there, and there was a police department and it's public safety. And we every year, for example, when we build a budget, we run into the department has compete for, you know, the limited fund that we have. For example, the sewer department, public works, want a new pump, want to extend the water line and so on and so forth, and get a new testing equipment and so on and so forth. And the police department, on the other hand, always wanted something also. And they are the public safety, and they would like to have a police car. They would like to have a new uniform. They would like to have a vest and all sort of things, and you name it. And that's very normal. Everywhere I have worked, it's always this way. It's budget time. Everybody compete for the limited funds. And as city manager, first of all, I'm just going to evaluate the needs and also want to see what the council's priority. We need to go back to what kind of priority the council have set for the city. So if your priority indeed is public safety, and then, well, I'm going to put public safety in the priority. But on the other hand, I'm not going to ignore other needs, other infrastructure needs either. For example, I have always talked with the police chief. Every time he wanted to request a new car, of course, we have grants and all that help for that. But every time he requests things, I may say, all right, you know, the sewer plant is failing. We can't do that. We need this pump for the sewer plant also. And we only have that much money. What can we do to work together? And then Felici may come up with the idea that, well, it's time to run more tickets. And then we'll have some money, income come in and help to pay for other things. So there's always ways to help with balancing competing needs. But of course, you know, when you're running tickets, we're not a speed trap. We're really, you know, because normally we don't run the traffic control, almost not at all. But money's tight, and every penny counts. Every resource counts.
Thank you.
Next, we'll go to Councilmember Dowdy.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My question is a three-part question. What attracts you to Bisbee, and why do you feel you would be a good fit for our community? Mm-hmm. What do you see as our city's greatest asset, and what do you see as the city's greatest challenge?
All right, I jump them down to three parts and try to make sure I address them all. You asked what attracts me to Bisbee. I've known Bisbee. Bisbee is, like I said, it's a very lovely community. I don't know why anyone would say it's not attractive. So in that regard, it is, you know, attractive in its own ways. And I also talk about why I think why I would be a good fit. I have the right experience and temperament, and I have been in Arizona for the last 5 years being the manager here, and I have over a decade of municipal management experience, 8 of them being executive, which is city manager in cities and towns, small, just like PC. So small town is my specialty. And then during my 10 years as city manager/town manager, I have made a lot of accomplishments for communities I work for. I brought about changes that was never expected, and I brought unprecedented things that success to the city. And what people who know me best say that I'm one of the best managers around. And so now I wanted to be able to bring my skill sets and my experience and my education to BSP to be able to help you, the community, to embrace your challenges. And I think I addressed that earlier, and that I realized that there are challenges which we're going to talk about. What are they? And then I really would like to work with the council and collaborate with the community and guide the employees, build an effective partnership, so that as a result, I stress we together can handle the challenges. So now, that's where I feel that I'm a good fit. And then in terms of the city's greatest asset, I'm going to say is your citizens, and then for the organization, then it's going to be your employees, because they are really the cornerstone of the community. In addition to the people in the community who made the community the way it is, and the employees who make the organization the way it is, BSP has other great assets as well. For example, the history, the rich history, and the climate, the mountains, everything is can be seen as assets, and we want to capitalize on what we have, what we do the best, and in order to accomplish bigger things. So we talk about asset, and you also asked me challenges. One of the greatest challenges I see is your financial situation. And it's actually your 2014, 15 audited financial report. The auditor actually pointed out that in the future years, the city is going to be facing significant financial challenges. As you know, the pension, public safety pension issue, the application there, and the fire department has this ambulance deal going on with the Arizona ambulance, and then those are all going to have financial implications. And then aging infrastructure, everything needed attention, and then that's just your list goes on, but you only have that much money to do what you want to do. So I think that's one of the greatest challenges is financial situation.
Next we'll go to Councilmember Hansen.
Good evening, Yvonne. It's nice to see you here. My question is, what is your vision for BSP?
Well, I did it on BSP's website here. BSP has a vision statement, and I happen to print it out, and there's a list of things. I concur with all of them. If council would like me to, I would read through. So let's just go through that. And then here we say, we'll strive to be a a model for small city by creating a safe, family-friendly environment, enhancing economic development opportunities that provide jobs with sustainable wages, being a leader among municipalities for funding innovative and functional solutions to meet our community and organizational needs, continuing to embrace our community as thriving, multicultural place to live, work, and visit, preserving the beauty, history, culture, and diverse geography of our community, valuing our employees that serve our community, benchmarking best practices in similar communities, always gets better. This is my favorite one, always gets better. And run parallel with the budget realities, stronger financial awareness, protection and safety to community / infrastructure, and then focus on level of service. So this is very complete list. I concur everything of that. And then, like I said, my favorite one is always get better.
Councilmember Connors.
Thank you, Mayor. Hey, thanks for coming back, Yvonne. I appreciate it. So let's say you've got this job. How are you going to obtain and maintain public's trust, both us up here and the citizens that elected us to hire you? How are we going to develop, maintain, and trust with the people?
Well, it is very essential for the city manager to have that public trust. And currently, like earlier we talked about, folks do not have that kind of confidence in the federal government and in the state government and maybe even in the county government. It's always something. The local government level is where, because we're so close, we're neighbors with our citizens. We're their friends. We're even maybe their family. So it's more personal. Citizens feel more comfortable, and we are more likely to be approached by our citizens about their issues or their concerns. To be able to maintain the trust, I think as for me, for the city manager as a professional, needed to be fact-driven, focus on the facts, and be also have integrity, be honest with the council and with the public. I think if you trying to run things in a professional way and be open-minded, also the city manager want to be open-minded to citizens' concern, complaints, I really believe that citizens will appreciate that. Even though they may not be able to get in one, so to speak, but at least the manager have the opportunity for the citizen to explain what their concerns were. And a lot of times, I have find out that once you think, I have a master's degree, do this, right? And I'm credentialed, know that. I have all these things, all these fancy credentials, but I learned the most from talking with the citizens, because a lot of time they come to you and they actually have a solution. And you think about it, oh, can we do that? Well, can we really not? So then be open-minded. And then, of course, you realize that there's parameters, and the council set parameters, and you have code, you have charter to follow, and all that kind of thing. You will follow what you need to follow, but be open-minded and responsive with the citizens. So be open-minded, be responsive, be approachable with the citizens and the council, that's the same. And then be factual, and then honest in dealing with the issues. So to me, that'll pave a long way to build public trust.
The final question is, what would you do on your first 60 days on the job?
I thought about that. It will be really, I think I'll be very busy, to be honest with you. Well, I first need to find a place to stay, of course, and then I have a lot of listening to do. I counsel, meet one-on-one, and council members meet one-on-one, and citizens. I know that we have active citizenry, and I know citizens likely have things they wanted to share with me, and I want to have my door open, and I also need to talk with employees today during the interview with the employees. I have already learned a great deal. I felt that the employees that I have met, they are dedicated employees, and I would like to know more of each one of them. So I'd like to, that's my plan anyways, we'll have some one-on-one time with employees, and that's where I would learn their needs, and so because that's my motivation too, as a manager later on, I'm gonna need to address their needs, that kind of thing. And I would like to have my, with council's approval, I'd like to have my phone number made available for, of course, council and the citizens, so that they can approach me anytime, so I can be there, because I wanted to be a neighbor. I wanted them to feel like I'm a trusted neighbor, because you know, we're all in this together, whatever it is. And in addition to that, I know we have a county, my colleagues in the county and neighboring city and in the state, and all kind of connections I need to visit or revisit, and then. So I think I'll be very busy, and most of all, I would like, after 60, you know, the initial time, being able to set up a list of priorities that the council wanted me to accomplish during, you know, the initial 1 year or 2 year we discussed that, and I in that way I can use that as my goal, set those goals with my employees, and so then we can hold each other accountable.
Thank you. This concludes our questions tonight, and I speak for the council, and we say we very much, Yvonne, we very much appreciate your interest in becoming Bisbee's city manager. I know you went through a very long, exhausted day today. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, Mayor and Council, for your hospitality. May I ask a question to you two, or is it allowed? Do we have time for me to ask council question?
Well, I don't have a city attorney to refer to.
you wouldn't be.
I think council certainly gives some input. Since the other candidates probably are not going to do that, I want to keep it pretty formalized as exactly all, because there'll be an exchange for sure, and I think we need to be fair to the other candidates. So, just my thoughts is we probably shouldn't go down that road.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Just my thought.
Okay.
Because that would be, other questions would come up, and it would be an interchange, and we're doing the same questions, obviously, to all the candidates.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Well, I certainly understand.
If council has another opinion on that, let me know.
Okay. I appreciate you asking, though. That was great.
Thank you. Well, that's, I understand you have a long night ahead of you, and so I will not stand in the way, and I know that I have other questions. I will have other opportunities to see you all, and then I'll be able to address my questions with you. Again, thank you very much, and I want to thank the city clerk and her staff, and also the finance director, and all the public works director, and the chiefs, the police chief, fire chief, for their support and help for our stay today here.
Ms. Kimball, thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to go to Mr. Richard Marsh. Welcome, Mr. Marsh.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate that. We've had a long day, and we're going to be somewhat brief tonight. because we did have that long day with the four panels, about 45 minutes or so with each one. So,
are you speaking concerned about me or yourself? Because I'm good.
No, you had a longer day than me, I think. But nevertheless, we'll just begin, and okay. We're going to have one question each, and we'll start with Council Member Sullivan.
Hi, Richard.
Hello.
All right. What characteristics do you feel make up a healthy city government? And how would you prioritize these aspects as the busy city manager?
It depends on the city. And as we're speaking about the city of Bisbee, I see several high priority issues that should be looked at and we should be concerned about. As I reviewed the budget and also reviewed the audit, most recent audit, there are some major financial challenges. I believe that that should be number one. Everything else flows from the financial stability of the community. Secondly, within Bisbee, I do see an incredible amount of opportunity, incredible. And I think that the recent acknowledgement of Bisbee being the best historic small town in the USA, and also the Sunset Magazine saying Bisbee is the best small town in the USA, there's things that are there to build on. So regarding Bisbee, I see the opportunity to build on the momentum that's here, because community and economic development would be the second, I think, high priority for the city of Bisbee. And I see potential in various areas, particularly a relationship building with Narco, Sonora, and also your San Jose area, because you don't have as many infrastructure challenges and issues. And the airport is underdeveloped. There's opportunity, I believe, there in the airport development. Now, we talk about housing, too. Yes, there is a need for rehabilitation monies for homes, and there's grant monies for that, and also the new construction for homes. When we talk about retention and attraction, these are some of the things that are important as we speak regarding Bisbee. I was happy to see that there's a relationship that's being started with the school system, because when you attract businesses to Bisbee, it's important. The quality of life is the high priority issue for businesses, and as well as the school system. And I'm excited to hear about the direction that Bisbee is going in that area. Because of my background in being an emergency financial manager, one of the community, and trained as an emergency financial manager, I have appreciation for looking at financially challenged areas within the budget and making recommendations for how we can adjust and make a difference and change our course of direction, and also my experience in community economic development. Tourism is a huge priority here, I believe, because of the past, because of the history, because of the culture that's here, and I think there's an opportunity to also build on that. Those are some of the areas that I see that I would be interested in working with the mayor and the council on to promote and to market the city of Bisbee to the world globally. I've had experience in that, as I mentioned earlier, with one city that called Benton Harbor, where you had, it was a town that was underdeveloped, had potential, but we needed to create a strategy, economic development strategy, to move us forward. And one of the things we did do with financial support was called Harbor Shores. Harbor Shores has been featured on CNN, the Bloomberg News, on the MSNBC and the Discovery Channel, which is a $500 million investment of homes ranging from $250 to $1 million in the Jack Nicklaus Golf Course. Whirlpool saw that, and they decided, well, you know, this is not bad. We're able to sell property to Whirlpool, and they brought in a $70 million investment and over 1,100 jobs. What happened as a result of that? It became the major tourist destination. And then we began to have some of the properties along Main Street where there were vacant buildings and boarded up buildings. They're being bought by investors from Chicago that ended up putting in lofts and apartment units. And that led to the demand for restaurants and retail. So those are some of the areas that I see as similar in terms of needs and what I would be interested in focusing on here in the city of Bisbee.
Councilmember Dunn.
Yes, the question I asked of the other candidates was, why do you want to leave your current position? In your case, why did you decide to leave your past position?
As you know, you have letters of recommendation from the governor's office. You have references from many mayors and city council persons and business owners I was fortunate to serve and work with. I had a shift in priority in my life. I have a daughter that's 8, and me and my ex, we're no longer together, but we do have a daughter together. And my ex, she found a job here in actually in Anthem area, Arizona, which is Phoenix, by the way, for those who don't know. Anthem like to consider themselves different, but it's Phoenix, okay? And I was flying back and forth every other weekend to parent and father and my daughter. I resigned, and I committed to stick behind the main priority in my life, which is fathering and parenting my 8-year-old daughter, and I'm going to stick with that. And that was my high priority. And also, I came here to visit, by the way, a month and a half ago, and the experience I had was incredible. This is before I applied. I met people in Bisbee that were unlike. I've traveled like many of us here in this room all over the world. I've been fortunate enough to be able to do that. But my experience, it was an experience I had with, I believe it's Suzanne that owns the Health and Fitness Center. I went there to work out, and there was someone working there, and I said, is the owner here? I'd like to pay for a day pass. I don't know if Susan's maybe in the audience. If so, I'm the Richard Marsh that you called 2 weeks later. Sorry I missed you. Anytime you're in town, come in and use my facility. An owner called me after. She didn't have to call me back. Someone else in the gym said, when you come back to Bisbee, I'll be happy to take you on a tour of the community. I'm like, wow, that's nice. And I had a police officer, by the way. I was trying to find a gas station, and he was an ambassador for Bisbee. He says, I need a gas station. I run out of gas. He said, go this way. And, of course, I get to the point. I went the other direction. And so, but fortunately, he followed me. And when I got to the gas station, he said, I just wanted to make sure you arrived here safely. And by the way, he says, if you're looking for some great restaurants, this is where you need to go. If you're looking for a place to stay, this is where you should stay. My point is this, that the greatest ambassadors for any city that's trying to attract tourism is to cater to and to give those who come here from the outside a good experience. And I had a good experience. And I have been on boards, which is the Metropolitan Convention Bureau in the Detroit area, where there's 3 counties that got together and decided we wanted to market our region, but we had to give people an experience. And so we had the hotel associations, the restaurants, and retail persons provided training. So people, any person, they meet one person, they've met them all in terms of how they're treated and how they're catered to for that experience. And that attracted me to Bisbee. What also attracted me to Bisbee, because of my background and going to the communities that are having 2 areas, financial challenges and helping identify those and assess and make recommendations for change, and also those who are with a little encouragement and to facilitate a change in community economic development. I saw that as being two of my strong points of interest and also areas of expertise, in addition to community relations skills, working with the community. And those are 3 primary areas that I bring in terms of expertise into my background in raising money, both from the private and also the public sector. When I mentioned Harbor Shores, Harbor Shores donated $500,000 a year to a police fund. Harbor Shores also provided $1.5 million for renovation work on our beach, what hadn't been used in 15 years. This was all a part of a development agreement. My name's on that agreement, Harbor Shores Development Agreement. So I look for opportunities to raise funds, but limited resources we have is important to be able to do that, not to mention, which is in the letter for recommendation from the governor's office, raising an additional grant monies from the public sector as well. I see I can do that here as well. Those are some of my reasons.
Next, we'll go to Councilmember Klein.
Welcome back, Mr. Marsh.
Thank you. It's good to be here. It's a privilege.
The largest portion of the Bisbee General Fund budget goes to public safety. How do you control costs in the area of public safety while maintaining the response times and services demanded by the citizens?
Yes. Thank you for that question. I've been city manager in 3 cities and acting manager in another, and assistant city manager of operations. That is not unusual. You'll find that of your overall budget, typically a third to sometimes close to a half, which is in your case almost half of your budget is going towards personnel costs, fringe benefits, and health care throughout the whole organization, but primarily your police department. I look at incremental ways to make those adjustments. But first of all, I'd like to back up and say this. What I believe as a trained emergency manager, we look at annual budgets which are good, but I think we need to look at, in some cases, 2, 3, and I've developed 5-year budget forecasts. So when we make decisions today, we're looking at where we would be 5 years from now, so we make those incremental decisions before things get really out of control and out of hand. Here, when it comes to public safety, there are some things that can be done, and they need to be discussed with the mayor, the council, and the entire community. There may be opportunities for some collaboration, for example, in one community, which some mayor and council person were against, central dispatch, centralizing dispatch services. But then when you think about that, people say, no, I want to make sure the response times are right. I'll make sure that they're good. That's just one of the things that we've done in one community because the mayor and the council supported that. In Bisbee, it may not be something that would be a council, mayor, and the citizen may be interested in, but I've seen it work in other areas. The budget monitoring is important for any department, and I think the health care and the pension liability are very important in both the public safety, so they need to be looked at and how the adjustments can be made in that area because that's where a lot of the challenges are. And by the way, I'll say this, it's not unusual, but also budget monitoring. We need to make sure as an organization that everyone's monitoring their budgets and we don't overspend what we don't have. What's going to solve a lot of our issues is new revenue coming in.
Mm-hmm. Next, we'll go to Councilmember Dowdy.
Good evening.
Yes, good to see you again, Ms. Dowdy.
My question is 3 parts.
Mm-hmm.
What attracts you to Bisbee? And why do you feel you would be a good fit for our community? What do you see as our city's greatest asset? And what do you see as the city's greatest challenge?
Okay. I didn't bring a pen for that, so you're going to have to remind me if I may ask you a question. That's a good question. Yeah. 1 and 3 are kind of coupled together. You know, what attracted me to Bisbee? What are some of Bisbee's greatest assets? 1 would be Bisbee's people, the people that are here in Bisbee. You'll find, I believe, because of my background in working and going to school at the University of Michigan, you have divergent views, but everyone is very passionate about Bisbee. And it's a matter of facilitating and finding some common ground that everyone can agree to and prioritize what we feel are those needs and the goals of Bisbee, and it takes some time to get there, and it could be quite frustrating for the mayor and the council to go through that exercise, but I think that's the assets are the people are the great resources and the ambassadors that they are for the city of Bisbee, because everyone will tell you that I met the business owner downtown, they love Bisbee, citizens and everyone in this room, that's why this room is packed, almost. In most communities you go to, local government, you see 1 or 2 people here. There's interest, there's concern, and I think that right there, what you see is an asset, and they'll be the best ambassadors that you have. I think that the other issue is the history that's here. There's a lot of good history here in Bisbee, and also Bisbee's position in the region where there can be some regional cooperation to market Bisbee as well as Tombstone and Douglas, and also there's opportunities in Narco and Sonoma as a region. And by the way, it's important to do that. My background is that at community economic development, and that's what interests me because I see that potential here as well. The state and also Phoenix need to begin to market or participate or cooperate as well when they have their marketing materials and that they send out and that's on the shelves in hotels and whatnot about Bisbee. There's about 5 areas that I think that are very important for the city manager. This is the second part of your question.
Okay. Challenge.
Pardon me?
The greatest challenge?
The greatest challenge is creating harmony and unity and everyone getting behind a set of goals and priorities to move Bisbee forward. And that would include the financial challenges that are there, and that would include the appreciation for the resources that are here and being able to develop Bisbee as a part of a region. And sometimes it's difficult to want to participate and also difficult to want to have partnerships with others. And I think it's important to do that. And I have experience at doing that in several communities I've been in. Thank you.
Councilmember Hansen.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Glad to see you made it through the day.
Yeah, it's great.
My question is, as a city manager, what would be your vision for Bisbee? Mm-hmm.
I think a vision for, I may have my own, but it's important that visions are created in a collective manner with the mayor, city council, business owners, and citizens coming together and saying, what do we want to be in the next 2 to 3 years, and how do we get there? What I personally see is areas financial sustainability. I see 2, community economic development. I see 3, there's rehab that's needed in housing within the area. There's some new construction that can be done as well. I see relationships with the school system can be enhanced, because when new people come to town, or even to retain, they want to know what your school system is like. I see also your airport is very, very good asset that we can build on and enhance, which I've been on airport authority boards, both in Detroit area and also Benton Harbor. And healthcare. This climate down here is by far better than any place in the state of Michigan, and I think there is an opportunity to reach out to the healthcare industry to build on what's here already. I know there's a community hospital here, but I think there's an opportunity for others. I know you have the assisted living facility as well, too, but being a retirement community, a lot of baby boomers and others who may want to come here, I think that area, too, of healthcare industry will be important to focus on. That would be me. What I would suggest, which I've done in other communities, where you look at within the first 90 days, and this would be at the pleasure of the mayor and the council, is to have a strategic plan where we as an organization look at and flesh out all the different important ideas that are here at the table, and then come up with the goals, that you'd have for your city manager and prioritize those. Now, the exercise is facilitated by the manager or a consultant who will come in to do that. But once you're through that process, which sometimes takes 2 days because it's hard to get everyone to agree on a set of goals and a list of priorities, but that exercise, believe it or not, and I've had experience in working with 4 different boards, mayors and councils, it has been refreshing and it has been life-changing for members to say, wow, we found common ground. And we have priorities that we, by the way, are going to hold the manager accountable to follow up on and staff. And it's adopted by the mayor and the council as well. So it's a living document that they've agreed to, they're going to live by. So. Thank you.
Next we'll go to Council Member Connors.
Yes, sir.
Good to see you,
sir. Good to be back.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
So let's say, you've got the job, and how are you going to, you convinced us, how are you going to obtain and maintain public trust?
Oh, wow. That's very important. I've done that and demonstrated that in many communities I've been in. One of the things that I would do, and you speak to public, like the general public,
everybody,
first of all, I'd have individual meetings with the mayor and the council. I need to know what you think, what you feel, what your expectations are of me. I would have meetings with department heads, one-on-one. What is your expectation of your manager? What would you like to see from that person? I would assess also our department heads and also get a feel for what we have here as a staff. And also employees, my open door policy with department heads and employees, and have all employee meetings of what I've done before. And I would have individual meetings as well with the blessing and support, of course, letting the department heads know I'm not looking for someone to tell on you, but they need to know that you have a manager that is not, I don't have a game face, meaning I'm not hiding behind a title. I'm a person like you are, and I need to earn your respect, and I don't deserve it because I have a title. I need to treat you the way you feel you need to be treated. When it comes to the business community and also the citizens, quite frankly, I see a great opportunity in the business community because I've talked to business owners along Main Street. I've talked to business owners in other areas, and there seems to be an opportunity to build relationships that may not be as strong as they should be with the business community. Because my philosophy is this, is that our business community, our citizens, if it weren't for them, none of us would exist in terms of the public sector because they're paying the bills. So I would make sure that I would have a business summit. I would, with the blessing of the mayor and the council, suggest that we do that. What I've done with citizens, I'd have what's called monthly. I encourage citizens to call the office. They want to set an appointment up with the city manager. Come talk to the city manager. It's okay. I'm here to serve you. I'm a public servant. I'm a public servant first. What I also have done, I've had a chat with the city manager. which is monthly meetings where persons in the community can come and ask questions, put me on the hot seat about what is going on and what isn't going on that they feel it should be. And they don't have to wait till the chat with the city manager. They can come to make an appointment to come see me, and let's talk about that. The other thing, when it comes to citizen complaints, what I've instituted, actually from my seat there, wherever you'd have the manager sitting, I would encourage citizens to send their complaints and let us know what they are. And I also encourage our department heads, along with myself, to respond within 48 hours through the manager's office. And if we haven't resolved it within that period of time, we at least will let our citizens and business owners know where we are in that process. That's back to building trust. It has to be earned, and it doesn't come easy, because a lot of times there's a division between city, or a wall between city government and our business community and citizens. And so those are some of the things I've done. You know, we talk about the website and making it more customer-friendly in terms of being able to file complaints and monitoring that. We talk about Facebook and Twitter and that kind of thing, and those are some things as well as you can enhance your relationship and build with the citizens. We did a newsletter, literally, in two communities. It was a joint process. We received a grant to do it with the city and also the school system, and we'll update quarterly is what we did, our citizens on what's going on in the community. And so those are some of the ways that I built trust with the community here in Bisbee, in which I've done and demonstrated in other communities as well. Thank you, sir.
And the final question from the council is, what would you do on your first 60 days on the job?
Oh, great. Well, first thing I'd do is arrange so I can meet with the mayor and the council individually to hear what you feel are some of the needs individually of the city of Bisbee and what your expectations would be of me. Secondly, I would meet with our department heads to see how they feel about the working environment and how they feel that their city manager should engage and interact, and also get a feel for what's going on and assess what's happening in their departments. Thirdly, I'd have an open door policy where I would meet with all the employees. They'll get to know the person behind the title, building these relationships. And you have other entities as well. The person, I don't recall her name, but she's with the tourism industry here for Bisbee. She works at the tourism facility at the mine, the visitor center, which I visited a few months ago. Let's find out, assess what's been done in the community to build these regional relationships. I heard some things have been done. Don't want to recreate the wheel, but let's find out what's happening. I'd also would like to meet with the Arizona, various factors on the state level as well, or find out who we have met with so Bisbee can become a part of what should happen right now with the new destination. The governor's office and the state tourism agency should be using those destinations to help market Bisbee, market Arizona, because this is a very important part of attracting tourism. So I want to meet with these other stakeholders as well, is what I would do, involved in the community economic development within the region and other municipalities that exist right now that we're working with, and see what other areas of relationship we can build by having, it will be a relationship building initiative on my part. What I also would do, which is very important, would have a citywide meeting where citizens and business owners can come and meet the guy, you know, ask questions of the guy, you know, like you're doing tonight. Who is this guy? What is he about? And let them come and ask questions of me, and me get a feeling of what they think, you know, about Bisbee as a city, and what are some of the strengths and what they feel some of the weaknesses are. Those are some of the things I do. And I also would look at the budget, of course, and I'd come back probably with some suggestions, with workshops this after individual meetings with the council persons to say, this is where I see us going in 5 years. What do you think? You know, what do you think? What's your feelings about this with the five-year budget forecast? Which I also think is very important, I mentioned earlier, is to have this strategic plan together where the goals and priorities are set. It's not an easy exercise. With the right facilitator, it can be done and accomplished, even with divergent views, and everyone coming in agreement on what these goals should be that we're going to hold, and priorities that we're going to hold our manager accountable to, and monthly monitor his progress in those areas. Now, one of the things I would like to see come out of that, if that was done with the blessing of the mayor and the council, is to have a business summit, because it would be interesting to get the input from business owners of how they feel we're doing as a community, how they feel, you know, what are our strengths, what are our weaknesses, and how they think we can get better and develop that kind of relationship is very important. So those are some of the things that I do in the first 60. 60 days of being employed here.
Thank you. Mr. Marsh, this concludes our questioning.
Okay.
And I speak for the council, I'm sure, when I say we very much appreciate your interest in becoming ISB City Manager. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Next up will be Mr. Michael Normand. Normand, thank you for having your interest in becoming BSBY City Manager. We're going to be somewhat brief tonight because I know that you all have been through a rather long process today, and you've answered lots and lots of questions.
All right.
So we're going to do one question per member up here. And so once again, we will begin, and we'll start with Council Member Sullivan.
Good evening, Mr. Normand. What characteristics do you feel make up a healthy city government? And as a city manager, how would you prioritize these aspects?
Well, I think public involvement, community involvement, opportunities for public input are important. Transparency, the business that's conducted by the city, that it's transparent, that the public can see how business is conducted and understand how their tax dollars are being spent. I think an ability to come to consensus. I mean, we don't always, or parties don't always agree, but maybe to agree on what a common goal is and move towards consensus towards accomplishing that. And communication, how information is relayed to the citizens and from the council. So the second part of that was, how would I prioritize that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think trust and credibility are very important in any governmental organization. That comes with communication, so I think that's very important, and I think that's one of the main roles of the city manager, is to communicate issues to the city council, and also policy direction provided by the council, to communicate that to the city staff, and also communicate the work that's being done to the citizens. And I think what I've found in city government and in the public sector is that the employees work very hard, and I think it's really important when you accomplish good work and have success in getting things done, that the community knows about that as well.
Okay, thank you.
Next we'll go to Council Member Dunn.
Thank you, Michael, for being a candidate. Why do you want to leave your current position?
Well, I've been with ADOT for 7 years. I was with the City of Chandler for 10 years prior to that, and then was in Washington State working for Regional Transportation Authority up there. For me, I'm at a point in my career where I am eligible to retire from the state service, but I'm still relatively young. I think I've still got some good years left to work. And because I made a decision to purchase a house here in BSBY, thinking that someday in the near future I would move here. So for me, it's kind of easy. This is a place that I want to be. It's a place that I plan to move to. But I still am ready, willing, and able to work. I think I have a lot to contribute, some good experience in my career in public service. And I just think Bisbee's a great town. And so for me, it was just a great opportunity, and so that's why I would be willing to leave my current employer and leave Phoenix, and I would gladly move here to BSBY.
Next we'll go to Council Member Klein.
Welcome back, Mr. Norman.
Thank you.
The largest portion of the Bisbee General Fund budget goes to public safety.
Mm-hmm.
How do you control costs in the area of public safety while maintaining the response times and services demanded by the citizens?
That's a good question. I would imagine that a bulk of, in terms of the labor costs, some of that may be contributed to overtime. So, you know, I don't think there's a quick and easy solution, but part of it is in your staffing levels. And I know I'd been to a previous city council meeting where the number of police officers, for example, was discussed and in the recruitment process. I know you're in the process of hiring some additional officers. But I think, you know, over time, trying to control that is one area where that can be addressed. Sometimes, or in some cities, I know they've recruited either volunteers or police reserves, so sometimes you can find people that can do that. That's on the police side. And on the fire side, I think prevention is really important, and in any community in Arizona. But I think where, you know, you have a city with where its assets are in its architecture and its history, you know, I think prevention is extremely important. So I think that's where, you know, you can find some cost savings as well.
Thank you.
Next we'll go to Councilmember Dowdy.
Good evening. What attracts you to Bisbee, and why do you feel you would be a good fit for our community? What do you see as our city's greatest asset? And what do you see as the city's greatest challenge?
Okay. What attracts me to Bisbee? Well, I originally came here many years ago to visit because I'd heard about Bisbee, and it was a really neat place. I mentioned that where I grew up in Michigan, it was also a copper mining town, or that's where my grandparents were, and I would visit in the summer as a kid. And so the history of that area is very closely linked to Bisbee because the same companies were mining in that part of Michigan as down here. So when I first came here, it just reminded me of a place where I spent my youth. So that was kind of the initial, you know, kind of attraction. And then I would come down here and work with the city as part of my job at ADOT. And I just have always been impressed by the community. It's a very interesting, very unique community. And that's why I bought a home here about a year ago. And since I've been coming down here on the weekends to work on it and getting to know the community and meeting people around the community, I think the thing that really attracts me is how welcoming it is, how friendly the people are, and very interesting people. And there's a real... there's a lot of creative people here and a real entrepreneurial spirit. And so I think, you know, really the biggest asset that you have here are the people in this community. And I think it also kind of links in with the history and the unique character that makes Bisbee what it is. In terms of challenges, I think along with that, Bisbee is an old city. And So I think aging infrastructure is a real challenge, and it's not as big a challenge if you have a lot of money to deal with it, but money is tight, and so you have aging infrastructure that needs to be addressed, and you have to be very strategic about how you do that with the funds that are available. But I think that's probably the biggest challenge.
Next we'll go to Councilmember Hansen.
Good evening, Michael, and thank you for being here.
Well, thank you.
As a city manager, what would your vision be for Bisbee?
Well, I think, you know, to make Bisbee the best community it can be. I know that's kind of easy to say, but I think, you know, to really, I like problem solving, and so I think to address the concerns of the community, address some of the needs of the community with the resources that are available, working with the staff and with council and people in the community to do that. Bisbee has so much potential, and it has It's such a unique place. I think people are starting to discover that. You're getting more visitors. I think people are starting to move here. So I guess that would be my vision, is to be able to address some of the facility and infrastructure issues, make sure that the unique assets that the city has are protected in terms of public health and public safety. So again, it's, you know, understanding risks, managing those, and protecting what Bisbee has, and then working with the community to improve the quality of life and improve the amenities that are here that people enjoy.
Next, we'll go to Council Member Connors.
Thank you, Mayor. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so how are you going to obtain and maintain public's trust, including us up here, mm-hmm. but most importantly, the citizen?
Well, I think by interacting with people in the community, I think what I would do initially is get out and meet, well, first of all, the city staff. I'd want to visit all the departments, the facilities, the people working there, just understand what their concerns are, what their challenges are, work closely with the department heads. Even now, when I come down on the weekends, I spend a lot of time not just working on the house, but getting out in the community and visiting the businesses and going to the farmers market and just talking to people and hearing their stories. And it's really interesting. So I think what I would do is keep doing that. Get out there, introduce myself, talk to people, hear what their concerns are. And, you know, of course, you can't fix everything all at once, but you need to get an idea of what the issues are and how you can prioritize them. So building the public trust, I think, is just communication, getting out there, meeting people, listening, finding out what their concerns are, and working with the council to understand what your priorities are, and then move forward on implementation.
Final question is, what would you do on the first 60 days on the job?
First 60 days, again, I would want to meet the employees, see the facilities, get a handle on the budget, find out what contracts are in place, what grant agreements or grants the city has that they've applied for, they're getting funding from, meet with the business community, other funding partners, meet with the county, find out what kind of projects the city is either in negotiations on or working with regional partners on. I talk with City of Douglas, City of Sierra Vista, CEGO, the Southeastern Governmental Organization, and just kind of start building those relationships. So I think in the first 60 days, it's learning and starting to build relationships.
Thank you. This concludes the questions. Mr. Norman, I speak for the entire council. We very much appreciate your interest and, you know, dedicating yourself to come down here and go through this process for the City of Bisbee. Thank you, sir.
All right, well, thank you very much, and I truly appreciate the opportunity. It's been a great experience, and I've said every time I come down to Bisbee, I discover something new, so that I wanted to thank the Public Works Director, Andy, again, for the tour, because I saw even more things I didn't know about. So it was really great. So thank you.
Thank you. Next, we are going to go to Mr. Jim Russell. Mr. Jim Russell, welcome.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, Mayor.
I know that you've been through a long day and answered maybe 200 questions, I'm sure, at least.
Ready for another 200.
Yeah. And so we only have one each for you tonight.
Okay.
A little bit of a break, but I know you've gone through an exhaustive process today, including the tour of the town. I hope you enjoyed that. So we're going to get right at it, and we're going to start with Council Member Sullivan.
Good evening, Mr. Russell.
Good evening.
What characteristics do you feel make up a healthy city government? And as city city manager, how would you prioritize these aspects?
Well, the city government as a whole for the entire community, I think, involves everybody that's in that community. It needs to be a relationship with organizations and individual citizens that want to improve those the area that they live in, improve the quality of life, improve the safety of the citizens, and it's the city council and the city manager's obligations to try to meet those requirements as much as possible. But it entails a great partnership between the citizens and between the city manager's government or the city government itself in identifying and prioritizing those types of needs and wants. But I think that if everybody can pitch in and do their share and assist the city government as well as criticize, then you've got your strong community foundation.
Okay. Next we'll go to Council Member Dunn.
Yes, Jim, thank you for being an applicant. Why do you want to leave your current position?
excuse me. The opportunity is just is right for me to leave the position I'm in now, take a retirement, and take the next step for building the rest of my future. My family is all pretty much out of the area, and I'm the left standing holding the flag in Lawton, and I've always had opportunities to promote and transfer and never was able to do that, but now I have that opportunity and I want to pursue it. I've accomplished some great things in Lawton. I had a lot of responsibility placed on me to make some changes and corrections in some departments, and I've done that successfully, and I want to do it at a little bit higher level and have an impact on the community and the employees that work for that community, for that city organization as a whole.
Councilmember Klein.
Hello, Mr. Russell.
Good evening.
The largest portion of the Bisbee General Fund goes to public safety. How do you control costs in the area of public safety while maintaining the response times and services demanded by citizens?
Well, that's actually a conundrum that we're under in Lawton as well. One of the largest concerns of the citizen is public safety and making sure that they feel that they're getting the protection that they deserve and that they want to live in a community that's free from any kind of concerns. Coupling that with the ability of managing the budget, managing the department. We currently have a police force that's significantly larger than the one in Bisbee, but the issues are all the same. And you've got to make sure that your officers are trained and that they're ready for any type of potential occurrence that would take place, while also maintaining the fact that you've got a limited number of dollars that you can do that with. Unfortunately, sometimes take a look at the city as a whole and section off the police and the fire department in terms of public safety and segregate them into a little bit onto the side and start making some cuts into the other areas of city government and the general fund, all while trying to also take a look at the opportunities that we have of making some decisions within the police force or within the fire department. One of the things that we've done within the city of Lawton is we've incorporated a part of our court fines to go specifically to the police department and the fire department and to kind of offset some of those needs they have, purchasing equipment and providing training and those types of things. So we look for some other opportunities to generate the revenue that would protect the public safety factor itself. Most recently, we, through a very large supported vote, increased our sales tax and are able to build a $64 million public safety building that will house our fire department, our downtown fire department, as well as our police station, increasing our jail size, things like that, because the building that they're currently in is just about to fall in on itself. So, raising taxes is not always the answer. In this particular case, it was one opportunity that we had. So, but we're always looking for other opportunities or other avenues of raising some revenue to meet those needs.
Next we'll go to Councilmember Dowdy.
Good evening.
Good evening, Ms. Dowdy.
My question is three parts.
Okay.
What attracts you to Bisbee, and why do you feel you would be a good fit for our community? What do you see as our city's greatest asset, and what do you see as the city's greatest challenge?
Why do I want to come to Bisbee? I have family in Sierra Vista. I have friends in Sierra Vista area. I wanted to pick a place that my son asked me the same question. Let's put it that way. And I said, well, why do people choose Florida? And he said, why Arizona? And I said, you know, it's just a place that I want to go to live out the rest of my life. And it's a climate and a people that I believe provide both warmth on both avenues and would be a great place to live and to reposition myself to. The greatest asset that I see from Bisbee is your uniqueness. And by that I mean that you guys have a little niche in tourism that I think a lot of people appreciate and not enough people know about. I think that you have opportunities within the city of Bisbee, the community of Bisbee, to really meet those needs of those people who love the arts, who love the quaintness and the aspects that Bisbee has to offer. I think it's a great tourist destination that can be capitalized in and continue to grow. And I know that you're doing things that capitalize on that, but to continue to encourage that and support that. I also think that you have a great spot here for some sort of industrial area and some economic development through that and bringing some jobs and bringing some people from the Sierra Vista area and from the other outlying communities and offering them some employment. You've got the space to pull something off and to bring that in. I've had some experience in working with our Economic Development Commission and programs in reaching out to some of these potential businesses coming in. So I think we could do the same thing in Bisbee.
Council Member Hansen.
Good evening, Jim.
Good evening.
And thank you for being here and getting through the day. As a city manager, what would be your vision for Bisbee?
My vision as city manager would be to create the perfect community that people would be drawn to. Perfect in the sense that it's always changing, it's always growing, it's always looking for new ways of meeting those needs. Perfection is not ever complete. But becoming a community that the citizens can be proud of, they can be part of, they can take place in the decisions, they can take place in the actions, in the future of the city itself, and grow right along with it. I know you've got a lot of longtime residents that just love the city of Bisbee. As I've visited and walked down the streets and spoken to citizens, they love where they live. They love the things that Bisbee has to offer them. And those types of passions need to be elevated and need to be sent out across the United States so that other people can identify with that, tear on their heartstrings, and draw them in.
Council Member Connors.
Thanks, Mayor. First of all, Jim, those are great socks.
Thank you, sir.
So cool.
It shows my uniqueness as well.
That is great. So how are you going to obtain and maintain public trust up here and out there?
A large part of that is transparency and communication. I've never been one to tell somebody exactly what they wanted to hear just to get them out of my face or to get them out of my office. Sometimes those hard discussions need to take place. Sometimes you just have to be honest and truthful with people. They may not like the answer, but they will develop a respect for the fact that they know they can come to you and get the straight answer. Once you start developing those types of trust and respect, whether it be with council, whether it be with the citizens, I think that you start gaining that that loyalty to you as the city manager, that they start showing support for the things that you want to do. They start gaining buy-in to the initiatives that you want to create, and they start getting behind those types of things. And it's that forward momentum that they're going to bring into the tasks that's going to propel it forward. But I think that even within dealing with the citizens, which is a large part of what the city manager does, I think it's even more important to have that with the city council. And for the city council and the city manager to have that trust built and to have that respect for each other, to where they know that if they've got something they need to come forward to the city manager with, it's going to be taken care of, it's going to be done professionally, it's going to be done correctly, ethically, morally, and meeting all of the legal standards, then they can kind of sit back and relax and they can deal with the issues that are going on in their wards and with their constituents and allow them to do the things that, that they want to do instead of trying to run the city government.
Thanks.
Thanks, sir.
And so the final question tonight is, what would you do on your first 60 days on the job?
First 60 days on the job. It would be one of my strong suits that I believe that I have is employee relations, and it would be getting to know the employees, building those relationships with the employees, getting to know what they do on a daily basis, their struggles, their successes, what works well for them, what doesn't work for them, and starting to create that rapport. However, from a city standpoint, of course, the first thing I'd be doing is meeting with the local businessmen and community organizations, trying to figure out what their vision for the city of Bisbee would be as well, and working towards trying to make a plan for getting those to fruition. I am definitely a planner. I like to plan out for the next month, the next year, the 5 years down the road, where are we going to be, because it's reality that you can't do everything overnight. But I think that if you're working towards an end goal, whether that end goal be 5 years down the road, and you're working towards that, people start relaxing a little bit. They know it's going to get taken care of. They know that you haven't just tossed it off to the side and ignored it. So I'm definitely a planner, and creating that plan in the first 60 days would be a big part of that.
Thank you. This concludes our question tonight. Mr. Rosola, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
I speak for the entire council. Thank you very much for having an interest in the city manager's job here in Bisbee, Arizona.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. It was a pleasure to be with you all today.
This concludes our candidate interview, so we will now go to item number two, discussion and possible approval of a motion to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03, 1, for consideration of the employment and appointment of a city manager. Do we have a motion?
I move that we go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03(1) for consideration of the employment and appointment of a city manager.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to for the mayor and council to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03(1) for consideration of the employment and appointment of a city manager. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. We will now go into executive session.
Executive session.
Second. We have a motion and a second to come out of executive session. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. We are now out of executive session. Item number three, discussion of possible selection of a preferred applicant for the position of city manager. I move to begin background and reference checks on various candidates for the city manager position.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? No discussion. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Do we have a motion?
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. This meeting is adjourned. Oh.